And we're going to call this teaching today a heart of passion. A heart of passion. We probably have many ideas of the word passion, but we tend to make it rather fleshly and sensual with regard to our idea of passion, being passionate. And many people are passionate over things, loyal, committed, a great passion. Many can have it politically, over their politics or their country, or very patriotic, or their family. You can be passionate about your job. There are many things that we can be passionate, but there's a passion that God wants from us. And like all of these things, he works these virtues within us because he knows that we can be passionate on wrong things. And we're told that the principle of our walk is Matthew 6:33 of seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things are added unto us. So it is a seeking first the kingdom and what pertains to the kingdom. And we believe that what we teach with the Deeper Life teaching is all that pertains to the kingdom. But he wants us to have with this walk a passion, because that's what keeps the spark, if you like. That is what keeps the commitment. That's what helps stopping this walk becoming a drudge. Well, you've got to do it, you know, this is what we do, this is our commitment, this is discipleship and so forth. You know, God never wants us to walk with that mindset and thinking. That is what religion does. We must do it. We must go to church today because it's Sunday, it's the Sabbath. And as we say so often, God has not called us to do, but to be. He has given us a standing in his presence. And those who understand and begin to know what that cost him, in which to give us that stand, that we know that he didn't have to do it at all. He could have left us to be damned and all go to hell, but he chose not to. You cannot help be affected and moved by that. And one of the things that it does, it creates a passion, a desire, a commitment. And these are the things that I want to look at. And I want us to look to something very, very familiar. And I do from time to time go back to this. But I think you're going to appreciate what I'm saying and the title that I believe the Lord has given us today with regard to Peter, after Peter had denied the Lord, fled with the rest of the disciples. We know the story. Jesus has risen. They're out fishing, and Jesus appears on the seashore there, and he prepares food for them. And we take it up in John 21, John chapter 21. And let's take it from verse 15. And this is where the Lord restores Peter. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, Son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. I know I've expounded on this many times, what's going on here, but don't single Peter out as being exceptional, different, because he's denied the Lord. Each one of us, not only here, but in the room, we have in some way denied the Lord in our walk. And God has not given up on us. And he calls us, just like he did with Peter, do you love me? And what he is doing, he is removing this lip service that we give. When we're saved, we're learning the word of God, we're learning our scriptures, we're being taught and everything, and we're all excited and so on. But it doesn't come until we have done something that we know we have let God down badly. And God, in his mercy and grace, he always uses everything. Thank God that he does. He's not limited to anything with regard to our falls in our walk. We know that everything works together for good to them that love God and those who are called according to his purpose and grace. What he's doing is what he was doing here with Peter. Three times, perfection, Trinity, Godhead. They all agree, the three in the Godhead. And this is how God works. And on the third time, he said, Lord, you know everything. In other words, he's saying, you know my destiny, you know my future. I believe that I've been called by you from the foundation of the world, and I believe you are working in me a passion, a commitment of that reveals I love you. And that's all I can do. I can only present myself on the potter's wheel as that lump of clay that you are perfecting and working in me for your glory. That is fundamentally the place he came to. He realized he had done a big mistake. He had given in to his fear, the weakness of the flesh, all of these things of which we battle with ourselves. And he's finally coming to that place where God knows all things. And that is why I take such delight. And I confess this also over myself. I have said it over all of you. I have said it over FGA. God doesn't make a mistake. Nothing is by a mistake. Nothing is by coincidence or an accident. Never with Almighty God. It's a divine appointment. It is a divine calling. It is those whom God has called from the foundation of the world. And in some way, through this, Peter is beginning to understand this. That Jesus, there he is, talking with him, restored him back after running away, betraying him like he did. Here he is, the love of God, drawing him back. And that is his inspiration. That is what is his passion being put into his heart. It is the restoring. It is the bringing back that creates this passion that cannot come any other way. Our growth into sons and daughters of God, there are things that God has to permit and allow us to go through, because that is what causes our growth, our commitments, and that walk in the Spirit. Romans 8. That is why every one of us, in some way, we have let God down. And yet here we are, still meeting, still praising Him, still speaking in tongues, still lifting holy hands in His presence. How do we do that? What does that in us? It's the power of the Spirit that resides in us. That stand that He has given to us, each of us, before Him. He has declared us right in His image. He has spoken the word, the same word that He spoke right back in Genesis, when He spoke the world into being, when He spoke and created man in His image, is the same word that declares us right before His presence. The same word. This is why it is a miracle. And if that doesn't kindle a passion within us, well then I don't know what does. Because this passion that we're talking about is a passion of commitment, is a passion of dedication. It is a passion that I put Him first above everything else. I'm passionate about Him. And you always know when somebody's passionate about a subject, listen to how they talk. You'll hear that a lot with people who have a hobby. You get them on their hobby, whatever they do, and boy, something takes over. And they're talking about it, and you know, you're getting all the details. And we do it ourselves. That's what we should be towards our Lord and Saviour. When we share, when people hear, there must come out of us a passion. That we are on fire for Him. And the people must see it, feel it, pick it up. That's why when the Holy Ghost fell upon that 120 in the upper room, they spoke with cloven tongues of fire. God was putting also a passion in them. Because that is what will witness to the four corners of the earth. I want more of that passion. I know I haven't got enough of it. And that's why I'm preaching this to me today. That God puts this fire upon us. Because that is what the world sees. They're not always going to be interested just in words. Sometimes people are sick and tired of words. I must confess, I get sick and tired of words at times myself. But when you see a passion about someone, that gets people's attention, you know? And this is really what we're talking about. And this is why Jesus restored Peter. Because He's showing him a passion. And Peter certainly did after all this. And he was restored. And he was one of the apostles. There was a passion on him and his ministry. A boldness that God had put upon him. I believe, brothers and sisters, there's to come another baptism upon us. There's many baptisms that can be experienced in the Holy Spirit. And a baptism of boldness, of passion, of declaration. You can read it in Acts 4. When they were in a certain situation, then there was persecution, God baptize them again with boldness, the word says. It wasn't them trying to do it. I have And I'm going to confess something here. For years, I have been under a condemnation because I hear these preachers saying, if you are saved, you should be going out evangelizing. You should have a boldness upon you. You should be declaring Jesus. You should do this. You should do that and everything. And I would come away in absolute condemnation. Until in the end, I said, Lord, it's not in me. I'm not of that disposition. I'm not like that. I wish I was. I'm not that way that just can stand up in a public place and just speak out like some people do. I wish I had it, but I don't. And you know that. You know that maybe it's I'm a coward, weakness, whatever it would be. And then God began to open the word like he does. The scriptures, we almost always must go back to the word. The Holy Spirit gave them that boldness to declare. It fell upon them. It was a work of the Spirit. So their boldness was a work of the Spirit glorifying the Lord, not man. And that was such a deliverance for me, a release, that God does it through us. He does everything through us. He speaks through us. He heals the sick through us. He casts demons through us out of people. This word that I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit has given me this word to speak it out. He does it. And this is where we can find, we can rest and not be in condemnation and feel an absolute failure. How many of us have felt a failure as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ? I can't be the only one. We're all shaking our heads here. We're all agreeing. And I assume you're all, yeah, I've got some amens coming up. Praise the Lord. We've all felt a failure. But you know something? God uses that in which to show us that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And it takes a long time to learn that we do everything by the Spirit of God. Jesus was led by the Spirit. We're told that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to fast for 40 days. And there he was in that wilderness. That was supernatural. Nobody can fast for 40 days supernaturally or without drink, as far as you know, because we don't see anything where he drank, just nothing. That has to be supernatural. And there God was testing him, his heart, to see if he would trust God. And the enemy was there, very vocal. You all know the story. But what we tend to miss out with that, it says he went with the Holy Spirit into the wilderness and he came out with the power of the Holy Spirit. He went in different to how he came out. You read it in the word. Yeah. He had been empowered by the Spirit. And there's the difference. And that is why Jesus said, I do only that which the Father reveals. Everything he spoke, every word he uttered, he received it from his Father. His boldness was from his Father. His meekness was from his Father. Loving his enemies was from his Father. Being crucified, bearing all of that, he received from his Father. And it is exactly the same with us. And that is why God is placing a heart of passion within us. And this is why, you see, he doesn't make us clones. He doesn't make us all the same converts. We're not identified to a body or denomination, a Roman Catholic or Protestant or whatever it would be. What has he done? He's taken us out of that bondage so that he can do this work in us. Hallelujah. And then what does he say? When he does that work in us, exactly what he said to Peter, look after my sheep. And that's the great commission that God has placed on all of us. It's not just for pastors. The principle is there for all of us. And I believe as we go on with this, we are going to at times get words of knowledge where God is going to show us that person is my sheep. Bring them into the fold. You will get the witness that they are the Lord's. And I believe we're going to get that experience more and more and more before the Lord returns. Because that is how Jesus, how did Jesus know to choose the disciples? Out of the thousands, millions of people following him, how did he know or whatever? The Spirit was revealing it to him. Word of knowledge, one of the gifts of the Spirit, you see. This is why the gifts of the Spirit is so important in God's house, his assembly. We are to heal. We are to cast out demons. We are to have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. We are to speak in tongues and to prophesy and interpret, to edify, to build the body. We are to have the gift of faith and the gift of miracles. These are all placed in the body. And this is what helps to create this passion. You see? And each of us must be prepared to be used. And that's why I believe we're going to have another infilling. There's going to come a time, and I get such a quickening in this, because God knows how much we can take. And, you know, when you look in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit was doing the work. That's why I often call the book of Acts the works of the Holy Spirit. Because they are the works of the Spirit of God. God was just moving through the people. He was in control. He was leading, not man. How we have seen the devil, how he has tried to control in Christendom, you know, and denominations and bondage and placing man under man's headship. That's how, what he's tried to do, but he's released us. And the Spirit is saying, let my people go. That's what he's been doing, you see. Hallelujah. So here we are, we're talking about a passion, having this passion, God working within our hearts, just like he did with Peter as he drew him back into fellowship, you see. You see, our discipleship is based solely on devotion. It is. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 14. Luke 14 and verse 26. And you know this very, very well. And this is what Jesus said to the multitude. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And so he goes on. He makes it absolutely clear. He's turned to the multitude, many, many, many people who are following him, and he he comes out with those words to them. What is that? That is the Holy Spirit giving him that. They are hearing that if you want to follow God, not only do you deny everything, you take up your cross also, but it's working that passion within us. That's what he's doing, you see. He's working a passion. Hallelujah. And this is why so many preachers today never preach on the cross, never preach about discipleship, because if they do, they know they lose a lot of people in the churches and they won't get the income that they once used to get. But Jesus was not bothered about that, and nor should we be, because that is the word. He's saying, if you follow me, you deny self, your self-life. Now, it doesn't mean you hate your mother or father. That's not what he's saying. It means to hate the alternative. If I have to put them first before God, then I'm not, because I hate doing that. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to put God first. That's what it means, you see. Because of course we love. Of course we love our mother and father and brethren and everything, and our enemy also. But we are loving with the love of God, not my own earthly, fleshly love, which is the difference. It's that agape love. That is God's love. Man's love is filial love. That is a worldly love. That's a love between a family and brothers and sisters and husband, wife. That's the love. He's saying you can't love with that love. You can only love with God's love. Here it is again. That heart of passion that we are talking about. And he doesn't argue about this. He simply turns to them and he says, you want to follow me? This is the way. Deny self, take up your cross daily and follow me. And the Holy Spirit, he will do the rest. You see, we have to line our life, our confession up with God's word. And once we've done that, we've settled on the word of God, then the Holy Spirit, he does the work. He takes over. That is our rest of faith. That means that we're not striving. We're not striving to do it. God has not called us to be busy, busy, do, 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 do. He's called us to have a standing before him as a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood, a priesthood sanctified, separated, set apart unto him. You are priests. And priests intercede. They supplicate. Priests are also mediators who stand in between and will supplicate for the love and grace and mercy of God. That is what royal priesthood does in the house of God. There's very few Christians understand that calling. But the Bible is absolutely clear what we are. And I preach many times on this in this assembly. And that's why you see, in many ways, we have to substitute these doctrinal beliefs that we have picked up in churches and religion and everything. I know it has taken me a time to get free from it. Some it takes a long time. Once I saw it, I just was so relieved. I just thought, what a blessing this is, that I haven't got to try to be good anymore. And the Lord has received me. You know, that was my experience, because before that, you know, I was deeply involved in the Anglican Church, you know, from a chorister to an altar boy, assisting in communion, you name it, the lot. And the things we had to recite, and the prayers that we had to learn, and so on. I mean, when I got free from this, I just thought, praise God. And then I wanted to tell everyone. I wanted to go and tell everyone in the Anglican Church, get out of it, you know. And then, of course, I met the opposition. And I soon learned that they had not seen that like I had, you see. And they became offended. And they saw me as a heretic, you know. But there we are, praise God. He knows how to deliver us from religion. And that's why I praise God for some of you who've never been involved in any of that. That is a blessing, trust me. It is a blessing. Because you have to undo so much. You really, really have to. Because you've got a wrong passion when you're involved with those. You're passionate as an Anglican. You're passionate as a Catholic. That's what they want you to be. But you're never passionate for Jesus. Not really. You see, it's always a substitute. And there's the difference. And that's why we sung today, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You can't lift him up if you're a Catholic, an Anglican, Protestant. They're too interested in themselves. You can when you are passionate for Jesus and he's the one you lift up. You glorify God. Says the power of the Spirit will draw them unto me. And that's what he does. That's what he does. Hallelujah. And that's why Jesus was always concerned with the will of his Father. He did nothing outside the will of his Father. And that is why we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has come in which to teach us the will of God. And we do nothing outside his will, not even good ideas or good intentions. And we've all had them. I've had a lot of them. And God has shown me I am not in your good intentions. I'm not in you because you would like to do it this way or you think that's what is right. I want you to do what I show you. Amen. You see? And it's not always easy to embrace straight away because it always goes against our logic. It also goes against our thinking. It goes against our flesh and everything. Why? Because it's revelation what God gives us. Flesh and blood does not receive this. It's revelation. It's flesh and blood cannot receive any of this. It has to come by the Spirit. And as we learn this more and more, what is happening, we're having a heart of passion. Because that's what we're talking about today. A passion for God. Not a passion for anything else, but for him and him alone. Let's finally look at John 12, 24. John, let's get to John, shall we? John 12 and verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. It has to be death. When there is death, there is resurrection. And the work of the cross in your life, my life, is working death to the self-life, death to ideas, death to all those things of the flesh, when it's finally died, here it is, we've read it, then resurrection comes. The power of God, that's where he's glorified, in your death and resurrection. And that is why he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Because each day it works that death for resurrection. And suddenly you find, praise God, I'm delivered. This worry and anxiety that's been in my mind for years is gone. I don't understand it, but it's not controlling me anymore. What's happened? You've finally come to death and resurrection has taken over. Your healing, your deliverance has come. Your change of mind has come. Your fear of man, you've been delivered. All these things that God is working deliverance in us through the cross, through the work of the Spirit. Suddenly we wake up one day, I'm not held by this anymore. I'm free. I don't understand it, but something has changed. Something has happened. I'm sure you've all experienced that, and you will continue to experience that, because that is what happens. Most assuredly, I say, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. It multiplies. And so what God is doing through us, it's multiplying. Just like those rivers of living water, those wells of water that come from us. I've said many, many times, water is an incredible thing. It not only gives us life to survive, but water can flood and go into areas and crevices that nothing else can. You can't get into it, but water can. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's what flows from us as we have this passionate heart for Jesus. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. I trust that you've been blessed by this teaching. And let God do it. Don't fight him. He's going to do it. He's going to equip us. I believe we're in for more experiences, more baptisms of the Spirit, more of the fire falling down in his right time and way as he takes hold of us. Because God is interested in glorifying his name. Yes. That is the whole purpose. The reason we meet today. The reason that we have life, breath in us to confess him as Lord and Saviour is all for his glory. And as somebody's put up on here, it's the latter rain coming down that Joel spoke of. We've had the former at Pentecost. The latter is coming down.
Amen.
It's falling, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. Thank you, Father, that you quicken us by the Spirit. It is all the work of the Spirit, Father. And Lord, place that passion within our hearts, Lord, for bursting, so that when people hear and we share, Lord, they pick that passion up within our hearts. They see that Jesus is alive in us today. Not this deadness and religion that so many have, Lord. Father, forgive us. Deliver us from that, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Lord, may this word go forth and set the captives free today. That we rise up by the Spirit, Lord, in these last days. Because the enemy is so vocal. He is so busy. He's at such work. But Lord, we thank you. You are always one step ahead. And you raise a standard against the enemy and put him to flight. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we thank you for that, Father. I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters. Be with them, Lord. Father, may they continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, may they be that witness in whatever they do, whether at work or at home or at the office or at the factory or out in the fields, shopping, whether mothers go with young children, wherever they are, all of us. Father, may we be filled with the Spirit and those rivers of living water just flowing out of us, touching the brokenhearted. Opening the eyes of the blind. Father, we're ready to be used for your glory. But Lord, place that passion within us that they see that we walk and are with Jesus, who is alive today.
This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be